Governor Scott Walker has called for a special session of the legislature to work on new requirements for food share, Medicaid, and other government assistance programs. Meanwhile, Republicans who control the state assembly anticipate a short but substantive legislative session focused on economic development, rural schools, welfare changes, and public health measures. We're discussing the agenda on this state capitol report. Republican State Representative Robin Voss is from Rochester and the Assembly Speaker. Representative Voss, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Kate. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Well, so let's start with the package of 10 bills for welfare reform. You helped author the package. What is your aim here?
So Wisconsin has been so fortunate over the course of the past 8 years to really see such a dramatic turnaround. Remember in 2010, our unemployment rate was over 9%. We had record deficits. Taxes had been increased, and people really didn't see the high-quality, good family-supporting jobs in almost any corner of the state. Now we have literally the exact opposite situation in Wisconsin. Over the course of the last month, we tied for the lowest unemployment rate in our state's history, tying back in 1999 when Tommy Thompson was governor and Bill Clinton was the president. So we know that there are jobs in almost every single community around the state where they go wanting. There are help wanted signs, I bet you, in almost every community in the state as people are looking for workers to fill the jobs that are being created by the policies we put into effect. So we need every single person who's able-bodied kind of off the sidelines to make sure that they are helping to fill those jobs that go wanting today. So the goal is to say that if you're getting benefits, and of course you have to be able-bodied so it doesn't count for anybody who's disabled or a senior citizen or has a health issue, but what we do want to make sure is if you're able-bodied and able to work, that you should be out there doing what everybody else has to do, which is to help earn a living in addition to getting those public benefits. So it's really a work requirement. You'd have to work at least 30 hours a week. We've already got one in effect now where 24,000 people left public benefits to go and accept a position in the private sector. So we just want to expand that to help fill those jobs. So my goal, I guess, is to have that help really be temporary so people can use it as a bridge to get to a position where they can help to afford their own lifestyle and not depend on the taxpayers.
Some Democrats have called the request for a special session as a knee-jerk reaction to the GOP's loss in the 10th Senate District in an attempt to fire up the GOP base. Speaker Voss, what do you make of that analysis?
Well, of course, it's the cynical politics that I think people are really sick of. You know, as we had the new unemployment rate reduced, you know, Democrats complain about just about everything, including that. So I think what we've looked at is, and of course, I'm sure you and your listeners realize, you don't put legislation together in 24 or 48 hours. The election was on Tuesday night. We announced this package on Thursday. We've been working on this for quite a long time. Senator Chris Cappinga from Delafield and I are the two authors. This has really been over a year in the works. It's just perfect timing because we have that unemployment rate so low. I think common sense would say we need to get people off the sidelines and help fill those jobs.
Why is now the right time to take on these reforms?
Well, we need the workers. Like I say, the biggest issue that I hear about is, number one, we want to find more workers for the jobs that go unfilled, and we want to make sure that individuals are able to pass a drug test so that they can accept that position. So our proposal also expands the successful program that we've had where we ask individuals to be randomized for drug testing. Of course, they go through a screen, so it's not every single person, but we want to make sure that if somebody tests positive for drugs, that means they probably won't be able to get a job. So it requires us to say, how are we going to fix that situation? So we say to them, look, you can keep getting your public benefits. You're not going to be cut off as long as you agree to go into drug treatment so that hopefully you can get yourself and your family back on the right track. So I think it's just a perfect time with unemployment so low to try to showcase that every single person in this state can find a good job, and we want to do everything we can to either train them or get them drug treatment, whatever is required to make them healthy and productive again.
Deb from Plymouth emailed and would like to dig a little bit deeper into the photo identification cards for food share. Deb's question is, would the photo IDs be used for voting as well, and who would issue them?
They'd be issued by the state. So, you know, people who criticize this proposal, again, other states have this in place. Most people don't even realize that conservative bastion of Massachusetts has a photo ID requirement for their food share cards. So I think it's pretty common sense to say we just want to reduce fraud. It's not going to mean people don't have access to the benefits. It just means they can't utilize it for, you know, some kind of a fraud situation where they would trade it for, you know, something illicit or to try to sell it for cash.
Let's turn to other priorities for this session. Speaker Voss, what is the focus on for this session?
You know, we've really got a lot of work that we're going to do in the spring session. We kind of focus on four different areas. Welfare reform, of course, is one. A second one will really be continuing our health care reform agenda. Governor Walker, you saw, announced the plan to really do a workaround. We all know Obamacare is failing. It's creating dramatically high premiums at the same time where, unfortunately, it's kind of roiling the marketplace. But what Governor Walker is proposing is really a workaround to help those Wisconsin families, because if Washington can't get it done, we have to step up and make sure that those families are protected from these ever-increasing Obamacare premiums.
So
we also know – oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So what do you think of this plan to stabilize the health insurance marketplace in Wisconsin, specifically obtaining a waiver to offer reinsurance? And would the reinsurance pot of money be big enough?
Yeah, I think it would. I mean, let's remember that, you know, if you're a Democrat, you never can spend enough taxpayer money, and that's always their knee-jerk criticism is to say, geez, it's not enough. We need to figure out a way to squeeze more out of the taxpayers. But I think this is a prime example where they should be complimenting Governor Walker for saying, geez, Washington can't get their job done fixing Obamacare. So it's good that we have a reform-minded governor like Scott Walker who says, let's step back and figure out a solution that actually works around the federal problem. So I'm very optimistic that this plan, you know, it's not going to be a cure for Obamacare. That can't be done at the state level. But it certainly can help those families who, through no fault of their own, are seeing those sky-high premiums.
The opioid epidemic is a nationwide crisis and certainly has touched Wisconsin in a big way. How can lawmakers help Wisconsin's problem?
Yeah, well, I'm sure you already know this because I've heard you talk about it on your show, that Wisconsin has been literally one of the national leaders in dealing with the opioid crisis. One of my colleagues, John Nygren from Marinette, has been, you know, a national leader on figuring out long-term solutions. We have done everything from requiring prescriptions to go through it's called a PDMP, where basically you ensure that people aren't shopping for prescriptions. We also have increased access to drug treatment. We've tried to make sure that we have every possible way that we can think of. But there's still more to do. And Governor Walker and Lieutenant Governor Clayfish have put together a task force that John Nygren co-chaired that came up with another package of bills that will pass this spring. I think all of our efforts have been bipartisan, and I hope that these will be too.
Are you coming at it from a criminal justice point of view? Are you coming at it from a prevention point of view? What is the approach?
The biggest effort would be prevention. I mean, that's our long-term goal. But treatment is also incredibly important as well. You know, when somebody goes in for surgery and they are given a painkiller and over time become addicted to that, that's really a healthcare crisis to me. So that's why we want to figure out every possible way that we can to begin by stopping the incident from occurring rather than dealing with it on the criminal justice end. So, you know, if people commit crimes, of course, they should be punished. But we at the same time should get to the point where hopefully they don't have the need to commit those or it never actually occurs in the first place.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is with us. You can join the conversation about the 2018 legislative agenda. 2018 priorities before the legislature include rural school funding, the opioid epidemic, as we've been discussing, and welfare changes. Let us know what you think. How can the legislature help on these issues? How do these issues impact your community? What are your priorities for the 2018 legislative agenda? 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Representative Voss, another vow is to take on a review of the state's school funding formula with the goal of proposing changes as part of the next state budget. What challenges do you see with the current mechanism?
Well, I created a Blue Ribbon Commission, which is actually being co-chaired by Senator Luther Olson, a former school board member from Berlin, and Joel Kitchens, a former school board member from Sturgeon Bay. So we wanted to bring people in who had already been working on the ground level to figure out what's the long-term prognosis for our system. So I'm sure many people don't realize this, but our school funding formula is based on a major criteria of enrollment. So you have property values and enrollment in each school district. Well, a little bit around 60% of the school districts in the state have declining enrollment, which means even if the state increases funding like we have by record amounts over the course of the past 6 years, it still means that they might necessarily not get a huge increase in funding if they're seeing fewer and fewer students in their schools. So we need to figure out a different funding mechanism that doesn't have such a heavy emphasis on the number of kids who are enrolled as opposed to the actual amount of money that's needed to run the school. So that's part of the review that we're doing, kind of thinking about the demographics of Wisconsin. How do we deal with rural schools? How do we deal with those that are faster growing, and especially those that have incredibly difficult challenges with poverty in the urban areas? So I think all of those will be part of the review that we do during the course of this calendar year, with the hope to put it in the next budget that we bring forward in the spring of 2019.
Will you get input, solicit input from school administrators, from educators, from citizens? Where will the input come from?
Yeah, they're actually all members of the special commission. So we have school board members on there. We have superintendents, administrators. So the goal is to really have a comprehensive look, listening to the best ideas from everyone, and come up with a solution that can actually work. Our school funding formula was put in place over 50 years ago. So, of course, things have changed a lot in the last 50 years. And that's why we need every person at the table working in a bipartisan fashion, hopefully, to find an answer that can help us for the next 50 years.
How do you think Wisconsin can offer all students the same opportunity to learn?
Well, we know it's not necessarily about the money, because the school districts that spend the most in the state don't necessarily have the best outcomes, and the school districts that spend the least don't have the worst. So it's a combination of making sure that we have well-qualified teachers. We do see that because of the reforms that we enacted, we now have the ability to pay teachers based on merit. We have the ability to be an awful lot more innovative than we had been before we were stuck under those old ways of operating with unions controlling the agenda and not elected school boards. So I'm very optimistic. We've seen continuing improving scores. We know that we have some of the highest ACT scores in the country, even after our reforms, when Democrats said it would ruin our school districts. In fact, it's made them an awful lot better. So this is just another step along the way to make sure that we continue to prioritize education and education funding like Republicans have ever since we took office.
Matt from Wausau emailed and says, the jobs that you speak of are low-paying jobs with little or no benefits. Regina in Maguanago may want to offer more insight on that. Regina, go ahead.
Well, this is just so disturbing to me, because this fellow isn't being challenged on what's going on here. My kids are in these categories of trying to find livable wage jobs. They've been out there looking and searching for them. And this isn't what he says this is. Being forced to go take jobs with employers who they say, oh, they're such great successes. These aren't successful employers. They are being they're being subsidized by the state of Wisconsin when they can't offer health care, when they won't offer retirement packages. They won't give these people enough money to live on so that they can actually pay for child care. And now they're going to be forced into this, even if this just doesn't even make any sense, that we would force people to take crappy jobs.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, go ahead.
Well, I think that's the cynicism that, unfortunately, people on the left continue to throw out there. Because, number one, Wisconsin has some of the most innovative child care programs in the entire country. So if you are one of those starting wage jobs, the state of Wisconsin actually pays for your child care to a great degree to make sure that you can actually find a job and be able to do that. And if there are people in Maquoneago who can't find a good-paying job, tell them to come to Racine County. I talk to employers all the time that offer health care, they offer retirement, they offer benefits, they offer a starting wage at $15 an hour or more, and they still aren't able to find folks. So don't forget, with Foxconn coming, that's up to 13,000 jobs with a starting wage of $15 an hour and health insurance. So there's going to be plenty of opportunities for people to want to find a job, as opposed to them just saying, there's no way I can find a good-paying job, throwing up their shoulders and thinking that the rest of us should pay for their benefits.
Regina, thanks for the call. Justin from Oshkosh called in, couldn't stay with us. He said the government should focus on getting spending under control. Instead of figuring out ways to spend more money, we should figure out ways to spend less. He says, I was shocked by the Democratic response saying that the government can just print more money when that is not true at all. Assembly Speaker?
Well, Justin's right. The nice thing about us in Wisconsin is that over the course of the past 7.5 to 8 years, we've reduced income property taxes by over $8 billion. We actually have had the largest tax cuts. We're, I think, number three by total dollar volume in the country. And at the same time, we still were able to have a record investment in education, in job training. Don't forget, we've had 6 years of tuition freezes. So we really are focused on putting more money in the pockets of middle-income families and doing it in a way that still maintains all of the important programs that we know helps to grow that middle class.
As you look at the legislative agenda ahead, where do you think you might be able to come together, reach across the aisle with your colleagues?
Well, we actually have had a good package of bills. I appointed a speaker's task force on the future of foster care. It was co-chaired by a Democrat and a Republican, Pat Snyder from Wausau and Steve Doyle from La Crosse. It was a bipartisan effort. They've actually come out with 13 different bills to address the foster care crisis that we have in the state. Far too many people who are addicted to opiates end up having their kids either put into foster care permanently or temporarily. So not only do we need more families to step up and help us with those kids in need, but we also have a system that needs to figure out how we do a better job at, you know, helping those families who've already made the commitment to love those foster care kids. So I hope that that's just one example of a package that'll come forward in a very bipartisan way. Because so far this session, 91% of the bills that we've actually voted on in the state assembly have been bipartisan. So I think that by and large, most of the work that we do is bipartisan, but it's the job of the Democrats to try to, you know, make it seem like the place is broken when the reality is exactly the opposite.
As we wrap up here very quickly, what challenges do you expect to face during this session?
Well, we always have to figure out a way to prioritize, you know, what's happening in rural Wisconsin, and we didn't get a chance to really talk about that. But I think you're going to see in Governor Walker's proposals that he brings forward on Wednesday some very innovative ways to ensure that the success of our growing Wisconsin economy continues to touch every single corner of the state. Good-paying jobs should be in every zip code in Wisconsin, and I think that's always the challenge that we have. When more and more folks, you know, want to live in suburban and urban areas, we still have an awful lot of needs in rural Wisconsin that we've been able to prioritize, but that'll continue to be an effort that we don't leave behind.
Representative Voss, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much. Have a great day.
You too. Robin Voss is a Republican state representative from Rochester and the Assembly Speaker. He was with us to look at what's ahead for the Assembly this year. Next up, Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson is with us to preview the Senate vote on confirmation of the heads of the Ethics and Elections Commissions. Your questions and insights welcome as well. 800-642-1234. Do you think the state legislature should reject leadership for the Ethics Commission and Elections Commission, or should lawmakers approve these positions? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll be back after a news update.